a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
South Dakota House of Representatives, now come to order. Leading us in our prayer today is Pastor John Fetty from the Pier Fort Pier Ministerial Association. Leading us in our pledge is Desiree Van Zee from Miller.
Let us pray. Almighty Father, we pause to thank you for what you have given us this year as far as wisdom and ability. We would simply ask that you give us wisdom, ability, and tact to conduct the affairs of this final session. Be with our men and women in the military and grant them safety, for your word says safety is of you. And we will thank you for this. For this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Clerk, call the roll, please.
Blake. Mr. Speaker, I think we have a quorum.
They look a little short, Karen. Oh, Bruner made it. We're here. Approval of the journal.
Mr. Speaker, the Committee on Legislative Procedure respectfully reports that the Chief Clerk of the House has had under consideration the House Journal of the 38th day. All errors, typographical or otherwise, are duly marked in the temporary journal for correction, and we hereby move the adoption of the report. Respectfully submitted, Timothy A. Rave, Chair.
All those in favor of approving the journal signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. We are at announcements. Any announcements? Representative Fain.
Mr. Speaker, could I ask personal privilege, please?
Certainly.
Would all of the members of the House that are term limited out, that are completing their final day in their eighth year in the House, please stand and be recognized? Really appreciate all the eight-year veterans. Thank you all very, very much for your service. And Mr. Speaker, if I may...
Yes, please.
On behalf of, I certainly can say on behalf of the entire Republican caucus, and certainly I feel comfortable in saying on behalf of the members of the House of Representatives, we, sir, would like to thank you for your wonderful 2 years as our leader. We know it is a thankless job, not quite as thankless as being the leader, but it's quite thankless nonetheless.
It's close.
It is close, but... we certainly have appreciated your leadership, the hard work, and your constant effort to keep us on task and to keep us in line with the rules. And I guess on behalf of our side of the floor, and I think all of us, I'm sure Representative Hunhoff can join in with some comments. Thank you very much for your wonderful service to us in the state of South Dakota, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, my friend. Appreciate that very much. Representative Hunhoff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I do want to join in on behalf of our caucus. Truly, we've had a long history of distinguished speakers in this very building and in the history of South Dakota. And I think you've just continued that tradition so well with the professionalism and the courtesy. And then I think you've truly taken it another step. I think you've also displayed the friendliness that we expect in South Dakota. Maybe don't always see in this building, but you've brought that friendliness that I think exemplifies the spirit of South Dakota friendliness. So thank you especially for that. We've appreciated and enjoyed serving under you here. Thank you, sir.
Well, thank you, my friend. I appreciate that as well. There's someone at the podium.
Come on.
Want us to unwrap it?
Mr. Speaker, in honor of your service that you've done for all of us, we want to thank you very much for everything that you've done. And in honor of your work, we want to present you with the picture of the 100th anniversary of the Capitol. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
And I've just got one thing to do for the speaker today. This goes back from last summer, and many of you have maybe heard the story, but if you haven't, you'll have to hear about it inside. Mr. Speaker, I've got a card.
Representative Rounds and I were on a trip together last summer. I'm keeping this card because it's the only one he had. We were on a trip together, and the tradition was he was supposed to have a business card to hand out. He had first overslept, so missed the bus. After we picked him up and went to our important meeting with some dignitaries, there was one member of our delegation that did not have any cards. So he introduced himself, not as Representative Tim Rounds, but as I'm out of cards. No, sit down. I'm sorry? Yes, it is. It's unfortunate. Ladies and gentlemen, there are not words. It's truly been an honor for me to preside over this body. And if someone were to tell me that there was a finer group of South Dakotans, they'd be a liar. I thank you for your work as well. It takes us, it's a team. It's nothing that I did. It's us working together. I think we've done some good things this year. We certainly had our disagreements, and that's okay. That's part of why we're here, to disagree without being disagreeable and to find the best solutions for the people of this state. And I thank you again very much. Any further announcements? Representative Fain.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House be in recess until 6 p.m.
All those in favor of the Fain motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Ladies and gentlemen, 6 p.m. We'll come back in. I expect at that time we'll have a better idea where the general bill is. I believe at this point it looks like they anticipate having their work done about 3 or 3:30. I would venture to guess 3 to 4 hours after that. They'll have a printed copy at the desk, which means the Senate can take it up first. Senators like to talk, so it could be a while. I would venture to guess somewhere in the then 8-ish hour, we will wait to receive the message from the Senate and then can take up the general bill after that. But cross your fingers, maybe it'll go a little faster than that, but I would venture to guess 8 to 9 o'clock tonight. So thank you for your patience. We'll see you. House, come back to order. Messages.
Mr. Speaker, I have honored to transmit herewith Senate Bill 196, which has passed the Senate, and your favorable consideration is respectfully requested. Trudy Evanstead, Secretary.
First reading of Senate bills.
Senate Bill 196, an act to appropriate money for the ordinary expenses of the legislative, judicial, and executive departments of the state, the expenses of state institutions, interest on the public debt, and for common schools.
Second reading of Senate bills.
Senate Bill 196, an act to appropriate money for the ordinary expenses of the legislative, judicial, and executive departments of the state, the expenses of state institutions, interest on the public debt, and for common schools.
Senate Bill 196, having had its second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks? Representative Tiedemann.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you.
And if you would give me just a little bit of flexibility to start out, please.
I will, sir. Thank you for asking.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. as I came in to the chamber tonight, and I thought back of the first time I came here and took the oath of office. And then I remembered it's my son's birthday. He's 22. And it's my sister's birthday today. And I'm not going to say how old she is. But I do want to wish them both a happy birthday. Because my son, who's in Lincoln, Nebraska, has been following this whole process, the whole session. So it's very special for me today, on his birthday, to bring forth Senate Bill 196. Before I get started, I do want to extend some thanks to the members of the Appropriations Committee. Representative Putnam, my mentor, who helped me through the process when I first started, who has helped guide me and kick me in the pants when I needed to do things differently. But he gave me enough rope to go forward and do the job. So I want to thank him, Representative Wink, Representative Carson, Representative Peters, Representative Dietrich, Representative Dennert, Representative Byrd, and Representative Wismer. If we could acknowledge the work that they have done and join me in the applause and thanking them for the work they've done this whole session. Since January, I've spent more time with them than I have with my family, so they have become my extended family. I also want to extend thanks to the LRC staff, especially Lisa Schaefer, my secretary, who kept me posted of where I needed to be, and also would let other people know where I was at. So thank you, Lisa. And thank you to Barb Bjerneberg. Barb gave me a pencil today, but it didn't work. It was purple. It wasn't green. Purple don't work in my hands. Just a joke. Thank you, Mr. Speaker, for this latitude.
You're welcome.
I also want to thank the LRC staff, Aaron, Annie, Sue, Fred, Terry. Those folks help provide us the analysts that give us the information to help evaluate as we go through the process and hear all of the testimony coming forward. Also, the Bureau of Finance and Management, another source of providing answers to us as Appropriations Committee. They give us different answers, which help us in making our final analysis. And then I also want to thank the members of the House who gave us the lead and gave us the opportunity to work on Senate Bill 196 and the amendments that we put forth. When I came forward this year, I had three goals in mind. One, let's make sure that we meet the needs of the people of South Dakota. We don't have money to do everything, but let's ensure that we do the needs of the people, not the wants, but the needs. Let's minimize the impact that we have on all of the people that are serving the people of South Dakota. The third goal, let's ensure that we do nothing that impedes our progress on economic development and moving forward into the future. Make sure that in the next 10 years, we have not done something that's going to stymie us. Senate Bill 196, really, when we came in fiscal year 2011, that budget posed a very significant challenge for state government. State revenue is not growing. It was going down. High unemployment. We had increased demand and cost for Medicaid services. Increasing students has significantly increased the demand for state resources. Federal money provided us some impact and helped us through some of the tough times. But we know that's going to be gone in 2012. We came in with the goal in the House of not spending property tax reduction fund, leaving that for 2012, helping us through what may be a more difficult time. Governor Rounds presented a budget that relied on taking over...
Time. Carson yields.
Thank you, Representative Carson. Proposed making cuts to a proposed budget instead of using reserves. We said we're not going to take property tax reduction funds. We're going to cut across the state, but minimizing the impact. All three branches of government work together to eliminate a deficit that reached a high of $43.6 million. We also were faced with the fact that we couldn't touch about $777 million of that total $1.15 billion budget. That puts a restriction upon us as we go forward to do our job. Over $17.8 million in general fund cuts were made for the 2011 budget. These cuts were in addition to the $37 million we made last year. There were no easy cuts. These programs are not bad. These programs have served the people well. And we hope that we can minimize the negative impact on our people. But the Board of Regents are going to be facing about a $7 million cut. That's pale in comparison to what is happening in our surrounding states, excluding North Dakota and Wyoming. But the rest of the Midwest is more significantly impacted than what we are. We want to make sure that we can continue to pay our bills. On the revenue side, we know that that sprout is just starting to grow. We know that the leaves are just starting to come out. Our hope is that, one, we can continue that, because as we educate our greatest asset in this state, our hope is to provide jobs for them so that they, in turn, can stay in the state and contribute to the state. We have to quit being the most generous state in the nation and export all of our greatest assets out of here. We have to ensure that we're providing both education and jobs. Despite these difficult cuts, we passed a responsible budget. We, as a state, are still going to be able to pay our bills. We took steps to protect our reserves. We have the savings accounts still in place. We did not increase entitlement spending other than what was required by federal law. And we attempted to preserve our ability to accept federal FMAP dollars whenever they come. Finally, we provided a one-time transfer of $5.4 million to go into other funds to go to the Science and Technology Authority for that science lab. We ensured that what the state had invested thus far will make sure that we get to the end of the race. Yes, we didn't do everything that I wanted to do, but I remember a number of Christmases when my dad came to the table and said, "I don't have money to buy all of your Christmas presents, but we're all going to share in it as a family." I came from a poor family, but I never knew how poor I was because I lived in the greatest state of America, South Dakota. I urge passage of Senate Bill 196. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative, for the remarks. Representative Wismer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen of the House, in this budget, we're cutting more than $5 million in our public universities, in addition to the cuts that they took last year. And it's really just a continuation, but on a deepening curve of the trend that's developed over the last several years of no assistance with the growing enrollments at the universities. These cuts are translating into much higher tuition and fees for our students and their parents. And I'm very concerned about what these cuts indicate about this legislature's attitude toward our public universities. Our universities are amazing economic engines, generating economic activity of twice again what the state general fund invests. And we already lag behind all other states around us in terms of state support. Our universities face an immense challenge in delivering a quality product that we are compounding again today. We should not be satisfied with a mediocre college experience for all, except those who can afford private school, any more at the post-secondary level than we should be at the K-12 level. For $1 billion in the bank and bragging rights to the lowest tax burden per capita in the country, we are chasing our future right out of this state. I would urge you all to spend the next year familiarizing yourself with the challenges faced by the universities closest to you. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Representative Lucas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I do have a question for the distinguished chair of the Appropriations Committee.
State your question, please, sir.
The representative, my question is, in Section 31 of the General Budget Bill, it addresses the issue of transferring money from the Education Enhancement Trust Fund, the interest earned, into the general bill. Do you know the dollar amount that we're transferring in?
Representative Tiedemann, do you wish to answer that question, sir?
Mr. Speaker, could I clarify what page was that on?
Representative Lucas, could you re-clarify your question, please?
Yes, I can, Mr. Speaker. On page 29, Section 31, it's the interest from the Education Enhancement Trust Fund.
Representative Tiedemann.
Mr. Speaker, if I remember correctly, it was about $17 million that came in from the Education Enhancement Fund and the Health Trust Fund. Now, I can't break out exactly. I would guess probably most of it came from the Educational Enhancement Fund.
Representative Lucas, you still have the floor, sir.
Thank you, Representative. But my question, I guess, to all of us then is, how are we enhancing education when we're taking this $17 million that, if you look in Title 4, 5, 45 of our statute, that's where the Education Enhancement Fund was created. And the purpose of the interest was to enhance education programs in South Dakota. In past years, many of us on this side of the aisle have always argued that that enhancement should be something beyond the cost per student increase that we give for K-12 education. And as we all know, we're giving a zero increase this year, so I just wonder how we can claim that we're enhancing education any way at all with that interest money that we're transferring into the general fund. In fact, we're just using that money to fill the budget however we can, and it's totally lost its identity, which it was intended for, which is to enhance education. That's one of my issues with the budget. I think we could have addressed the issue of funding the CPI. There were some options this year, but you know, it came down to, do we want to do a tax increase? Do we want to use some of our reserves or some of our trust fund money? And nobody really wanted to do that. But we ruled those issues out early on, and then it comes down to the end where we're kind of painted in the corner. Well, the only thing we could do are these budget cuts that just came out in the last hour, like this morning. And that seems what we're left with. I think that's a wrong way of doing our budget. We should go forth and do the statutory obligations first. If we have a fund that we've set up by a vote of the people to enhance education, we ought to be sure and be able to go back and tell our people we've done it. I don't believe there's any way we can tell people back home that we've enhanced education by giving them a status quo, $0 increase, and then at the same time cut other ancillary programs somewhat, like the DDN. I wished I could have been more involved in some of these budget cut discussions. I mean, they incurred throughout the session. We offered some from our side of the aisle, and most of those were killed on party line votes. And then on the 34th, 35th day, there were some cuts that came forth from the majority side. We didn't have any input in that. I would have liked to have been at the table and represent our side. And maybe those were the best cuts. I don't know, but it's hard to go back and defend those to my people, my constituents, when I haven't been involved in those discussions. And then, as we know, now there's been some different cuts brought forth that most of us in this body, in either side of the aisle, haven't been involved in. And it's not a good way of going back home and telling our people, yeah, we have a balanced budget, but I'm not convinced that we've done the best for our people in South Dakota. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks?
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Lang.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker,
Thank
and
you.
Members of the body. I speak as the ghost of the great South Dakotan William O. Farber, whose book, Footprints on the Prairie, published in 2005, foreword by Tom Brokaw, advises us thus, In the April 1996 Farber Fund newsletter, I noted with alarm that South Dakota had not escaped the trend to treat higher education badly. The situation was terrible. In-state and out-of-state tuitions continued to increase. The Mickelson Scholarship was being phased out. In-state status for children of alumni was gone, and the state failed to provide general state pay raises. He goes on to explain that this could all be solved if you followed my advice. He says we need an income tax. 100 million more from people who can afford it would put this state out of the embarrassing situation of being last in so many things. Farber concluded, he made another statement. He said, above all, in the words of the Athenians, we should regard it as our duty to transmit to future generations our university better, greater, and more beautiful than it was transmitted to us. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry I have to vote no on this, but I think maybe we'll learn a lesson, and next year we can come back and really do a job on this budget and do a job for education. Thank you, Mr. Speaker and members of the body.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks, Representative Elliott.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen of the House, much has been said about K through 12 education, and in my 40 years of teaching, I've said a lot about it and to my students, and some of which they probably didn't want to hear. And tonight, you might not want to hear what I have to say either. What I had behind my desk every year that I taught was a plaque, and that plaque said, children will not always remember how much you taught them, but they will always remember how you made them feel. And that is absolutely true. I had a young Native American girl in my class, and we had the DARE program. And I asked her, I knew she was very poor, and I asked her, do you have a ride to the DARE program? And she said, no. And I said, I will come and pick you up and take you. I picked her up. She was very delighted to go. And a couple years later, students at the middle school were supposed to write a letter to someone who made a difference in their life. And I got the letter from Chelsea. She had a terrible time in school, but she wrote from her heart. There were many misspelled words. The grammar wasn't as it should be. But she thanked me for taking her to that DARE program, and that I was the teacher that had made the biggest difference in her life. Now, it wasn't because of what I taught her. It was because of how I made her feel. We in this state need to make our children feel like they are important, and our grandchildren, and maybe even our great-grandchildren. If we don't give the school districts the money that they need to educate our kids, and it all comes down to the students, then we are not showing them that we feel very much about how they feel or how they will feel later. I think it's terrible that we have a $4 billion budget and we cannot take 1.2% to give to K through 12 education. I hope that later on, if we can get the money to come in, I hope that money will be allocated to education. I, too, was raised in a poor family. But I'll tell you what. My dad had an eighth grade education. My mom's mom died when my mom was 13, and she worked herself through high school. And there was never a case of if you go to college. It was a case that when you go to college. And I really hope that this body will think that through and think about how we make children feel. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Representative Solberg.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Welcome, and to the body. The Constitution requires that we balance, the legislature balance the budget. What it doesn't say is it doesn't say the entire legislature. Thus, many were left out of the process, which is very disheartening. Now, some may say, well, that's not true, but let me give you a little example. Twice on this House floor, we failed to pass a bill to fund the science lab. But in the appropriations process, they took those same funds and moved them into the general budget and then moved them over to fund the science lab. To me, that is not involvement in the process. We talk at great length about economic development and the value of the mind. Well, as I recall, the trust fund of the future fund is genuinely reserved for economic development. Well, if the mind is half as good as we say it is, why then did we not invest those dollars instead of taking dollars from funds that were designated for other purposes? Again, a disappointment. Again tonight, the good chairman of the House Appropriations Committee said that economic development is something we must continue to work on. We have stressed the need for a long time. Well, ladies and gentlemen, true economic development, education, what do? We don't give K through 12 any increase. We cut the public universities. We cut the technical schools. We cut the state fair. We cut extension and ag research. We cut tobacco prevention. Now, ladies and gentlemen, those are all a part of education. As the good representative from Brookings said, an economic development tool is education. It is my desire that we not pay lip service like we have for so long. It is my desire that we go to work and properly fund education, the true economical engine of South Dakota. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks, Representative Berg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you.
You know, I've had a very long day. I'm probably as exhausted from a day that I can ever recall out here. And it's hard for me to kind of get the energy to get back up and give another speech. But I feel I need to. We have an appropriations bill before us. And in times past, I always felt the appropriations committee was the one that designed that bill. I have a feeling this year that we're not the one that designed this bill. I bragged a lot early in the session to some people as I talked to them that I thought I served on the best committee that I have served with. I've been 10 years in that committee. Over the last few years, I thought we took some giant steps of moving forward in openness and working together. And I think we took an awful big step backwards this year. And that really pains me. I think the thing that pains me the most about this is I'm not sure the first 6 weeks we took of hearing budgets and department heads meant a thing. I think it was there mostly for show to pretend that we were going to be putting a budget together by what they told us. Last year was frustrating to me, too, but it was more understandable because of how the stimulus monies were coming, how we had to react to them, and we had to do things in a different way. We didn't have that problem here this year. This year, we pretty much knew what we had to be working with. Now, we have some dispute about whether the federal government will come through with the 30-some million dollars of the FMAP match. And we are saying we do not want to take it. We do not want to try to spend that unless we know it's absolutely here. But in the same sense, we spent $5.4 million on a mine on a promise from the federal government that they will take that over with by May of 2011. Now, I have never seen a deadline yet that we've worked with the National Science Foundation that they have met. And we put one-time money in there for the third time. Whether we have to put one-time money there the fourth time or not, I don't know. But on one hand, we're saying we trust the federal government to do the right thing for us and that they're probably going to come through with $1 billion to fund that mine. But we don't trust them enough that probably in the next month or two that they might come through and they probably will come through with this money. We would rather make these cuts to all of these programs that really, really help people. We chose to do that instead of maybe taking a little gamble and spending some of those reserves, which would be very easily to fill with this money when it shows up, and it probably will show up. It could have been here, but as we were hoping it'd be here, but it's not. But I'm very disappointed that in one hand, we say they're going to come through for us, and on the other hand, we're saying they won't come through for us. Which is it? I have a lot of respect for the people I serve with in that Appropriations Committee. My frustrations, I was barely able to keep them in check for most of the day, and I tried to do the best I could, too. And it really got lonely down at my end of the table once Julie left, because she was the only really friendly face I think I had there. But I still kept plowing forward. But this is probably one of the first times I wondered. I know everything was pretty much decided before we walked into that room. There was a sheet that pretty much told us how every vote should go. And we actually only deviated from that on two different things. And only thing we did there was go through the back door to do the same thing. We didn't want to let people show what they were doing in the front door. I will not be voting for this bill again. This will be the second year in a row, probably only the third time that I know of that I didn't vote for the appropriations bill.
Time, Fargin yields.
Thank you, whoever it was. I missed that. But this is the first time I've ever had anybody yield to me, and I apologize for that. But I just can't vote for it. I don't think we did the best job we could. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Representative Dennert.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you.
Members of the House, it's getting kind of late in the evening, but with my years here, I've seen later evenings, Mr. Speaker. So I'm more awake tonight than I have been some nights. One year we stayed basically all night on the appropriations process. A few of them in here was here with me. It was one of my first couple of years here. I'm going to just start off, as we've had several speakers, I'm not going to apologize for every speaker. They talked to us in the caucus and asked us if they could speak. Leader Bernie and I decided that they've taken notes and was very dedicated. I wanted to give them the opportunity. I want to start off, too, by thanking the staff, Barb and Lisa, upstairs to my right. They're there every morning with a smile. I also want to thank our LRC staff, Fred, that leads it up in the appropriations side, and I'll miss a name if I try to name him, but I want to thank them all. I also want to thank Mr. Dilges and the BFM staff, because any time that I've needed some information from them, they've always been straightforward with me and given me the information. Several of our speakers have touched on K-12, higher ed, different issues on different things as we went through the day. Monday morning at 7:30, I walked into the Capitol and I was invited to breakfast with the governor and some of his staff, and we sat down and we talked over breakfast. One of the first questions I had of the governor is, are we going to use any of the anticipated federal dollars that could come in? And the governor said no. So I knew what we was going to be dealing with as we went forward. We talked about other issues and how the things would progress. And I think as the breakfast ended, I asked Mr. Dilges, I said, Mr. Dilges, if the money does come in from the federal government, how will we handle it? And I think, as I remember, he gave me three options. He said we could probably have a special session to spend the money, which we know we have to spend. The other option would be is if we deficit spend, we can backfill with the federal money. And the third option would be to wait until next legislative session and amend the general bill to spend it. As we went through the day today, one of those options disappeared from us, and that was the one to deficit spend and backfill the budget with the federal dollars that came in. So we're down to two options if the federal money comes in. And as I said, I'm not going to dwell on any issue in the budget. We had plenty of that. With that, ladies and gentlemen, I think it's a handed out an amendment at your desk, and I would move it at this time, Mr. Speaker.
Is that 196 Bravo Q?
Yes, it is.
It's been moved and seconded. Representative Dennard, I will allow you the latitude to speak to both the amendment and the bill, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I don't think I'll speak a lot about the Appropriations Bill 196. I'm going to just throw this out as an option. I know it's a late hour. It's a bad time to offer an amendment. But as I stated a little while ago, one of the options, if federal money does come to us, has been taken away from us. This particular piece or amendment to 196 just adds some sections, and I'm going to explain it. I've had a little information on it. I worked with LRC staff, my leader, Mr. Hunoff, and he asked me to offer the amendment. I worked with him on it, too. Section 46 just gives a date if some federal money does come in between April 1st and October 1st of this year, that it's going to be FMAP money and we should distribute it to the departments in Section 46. Section 47 says that if it's here in the Appropriations Committee, more or less, would distribute this money to those places on a percentage basis needed. Section 48 says with them funds, we should also fund K-12 education, the 1.2%, which is about $7 million. That would be all one-time money, all from the state, and not affect local effort. Section 49 is the real key for me, and I think if I relate back to a meeting we had with some of the governor's staff, I had said that the
time street yields,
the providers would be the first in my list for some funding because of zero funding last year, and that is the $5.7 million, a general fund, which we would use these dollars. We'd leverage $10 million, approximately, of federal money to go to the providers across the state. Section 50, then, is state employees, I think, would give them $500 one time, not going to the base. And then in Section 51, would go on and say that all of these things in these sections would come to being if the money came in. I'm throwing out a little leaf or palm branch with this amendment. I feel this is being proactive, ladies and gentlemen, to the process. I think we could save dollars if the money comes up without a special session. We could get some money to K-12, we could get some dollars to state employees, and we could also give some money to the providers across the state. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I offer this, and as proactive on the process, and I'm anticipating that money will come, I would anticipate that we could use it, and this would be the best sections to use it. And thank you for your time, and I'd appreciate your support. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks, Representative Fain.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm frankly not excited about opposing this amendment because there, frankly, are a lot of things that I agree with in it. However, I don't feel this is the time or the place to discuss money that we don't know about for sure yet. We don't know for sure if the money will come. We don't know if it does, how much it will be. And I don't feel that now is the time to do that. We will have the opportunity, if and when that comes, to make those decisions. And as I said before, I'd support many of the suggestions that are in this amendment. And when and if the time comes and I have the opportunity to do that, I will. However, I don't believe this is something we add to this year's general bill because this is about the money that we have here today that we're dealing with. Let's vote against the amendment. I'm not totally sure it's germane to a general bill, but nonetheless, I think we'll have our opportunity to discuss this. So I'd encourage the body to please oppose the amendment, and we'll discuss this when the time is right. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative. Any further remarks on the Dennert motion to amend? Representative Sorensen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Looking at this amendment and taking the extra 5 minutes tonight to deal with this could save us $20,000-$30,000 of taxpayer money coming back to a special session. I sat into those painful Appropriations Committee meetings this afternoon, and I truly believe what I heard from both sides of the aisle, that there really was in our hearts a desire to give the 1.2% if we have it, to take care of the providers if we have it, to take care of the state employees if we have it. This amendment only says we can do this if the money comes and we can save the taxpayers the cost of holding a special session. I encourage you to vote for the amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative. Any further remarks on the Dennert motion to amend? Hearing done. Roll call has been requested. Is he supported? He is supported. You may sit. Hearing no further remarks, question for the House is a Representative Dennert motion to amend 196BQ. All those in favor, vote aye. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will lock the voting machine. Members shall proceed to vote. Representative Tiedemann.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Personal privilege?
Granted, sir. Thank you for asking.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to also acknowledge the leadership of Senator Hunoff in helping move Senate Bill 196 through the process. It has been a very enjoyable experience working with the senator in this whole process. We communicated. We worked together. I just want to thank her for her leadership, and also my intern, Lance Hildebrandt, and Caitlin Abrams, the intern from the Senate side, both SDSU students. Thank you for your leadership.
Thank you.
Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
Clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were yeas 24, nays 45.
The Representative Dennert motion to amend, having failed to receive a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared lost. We're back to discussion on Senate Bill 196. It's an original form. Are there further remarks? Representative Dennert would be your second time speaking to the bill. In the essence of time, I will give you the latitude to do that.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As I started out, I thanked a lot of people, and I really was amiss in not thanking the working together with the appropriators from across the aisle. Representative Tiedemann has always included me as we went through the process. You know, he doesn't tip all of his cards all of the time, but I've really appreciated the working with the six people over there in the years that I've been here, and I just totally forgot him. And thank you, Mr. Speaker, for that latitude before we call the vote on 196.
Thank you for asking, sir.
Mr. Speaker.
Further remarks, Representative Hunhoff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I also want to thank the Appropriations Committee, and especially the chairman. I think they've worked tirelessly all through this session, and they've always been so good at trying to provide whatever information they can, and we truly do appreciate the service on both sides of the aisle on that committee. And I want to also mention I so much appreciate the leadership of our majority leader in this body. He's word is that he may not be back with us next session. That will be the legislature's loss and the radio audience in Watertown's gain. But he's, I think, been an exceptional leader, and he's the only guy ever last year, last day of session, he came up to me in the hallway and he said, so are you happy with everything? And I didn't even have an answer because I'd never been asked that before, ever. In or out of politics. And you know what? He meant it. He was sincere. He actually meant it. He hasn't asked me that this year. But I know he meant it, and I sincerely appreciate his public service and his leadership, and also the work that he'll continue to do in broadcasting in South Dakota, which is also public service. I'll be very short. I know the hour is late. I didn't expect a perfect appropriations bill. Nobody did. And I guess it could be worse. We could have some of the very short-sighted things that some people talked about this session, and I won't name the list for lack of time, but a lot of bad ideas were presented. A lot of bad ideas that we heard about are not in this bill, so that's a good thing. But still, South Dakotans deserve better than this, I think, as a budget. It's not as practical, not as disciplined, not as far-sighted, not as frugal as the people of South Dakota expect. Instead, I think it continues a pattern that's really impossible to justify. It continues a pattern. It does not stop the growth of the bureaucracy. It does not balance the budget with one-time. It uses one-time savings and one-time funds. Once again, we continue that pattern. How long can we continue down that road? It does not meet the obligations to local schools. It also, as has been talked about, it does not meet basic standards of openness that we expect here in Pierre, South Dakota. We have not made government more efficient. These are not cuts, and we could go through the list, but some have talked about it already. They're really not cuts. They're transfers and shifts, and how can you say a physics program that never existed is all of a sudden a $1 million cut? They're not cuts. We simply have not left here making government more efficient than it was. We've not instituted, I think worst of all, we've not instituted any long-term reforms of the way we do business in Pierre, South Dakota with the budget. We absolutely need to do that with zero-based budgeting and many of the other ideas that we've talked about this session. To end, South Dakota deserves a better budget than this. They need a better budget than this. We didn't deliver. Good news is some of us will be back next year. Try again. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Any further remarks? Representative Fain.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker, and ladies and gentlemen of the House. This legislature is about to make an historic step. Never in the history of this state has such a large downsizing of government occurred. The citizens of South Dakota told us they were not willing to consider paying more taxes until we made a concerted effort to reduce government spending and stop growing our structural deficit. We have done that. The people sitting in these desks have lived through an unprecedented chain of events. Last year, our budget process became terribly confused by a sudden influx of federal money. This year, a disastrous economy forced us to take a longer view of the budgeting process and make strides towards fixing our budget crisis, not only for fiscal year 11, but for fiscal year 12 and beyond as well. Through this process, we encountered more of a painstaking process than ever before because of our desire to make the necessary cuts while protecting our citizens at the same time. Over the next few months, you'll hear election year rhetoric that says we gave tax breaks to big oil at the expense of South Dakota students. The truth is that we cut those tax breaks, which passed on a strong bipartisan vote just 5 years ago, I might add, by roughly 50%. At the same time, after cutting those tax breaks by half, the K-12 education dollars were not cut, They were only held at their current spending levels. Throughout this legislative session, we've stated repeatedly that the only true recovery will come through genuine new economic development. Totally eliminating those incentives would have likely proven to be counterproductive over time. I also would like to personally thank all the members of this House for their hard work in achieving this budget. And as always, special thanks needs to go to Representative Tiedemann and his entire appropriation staff for their extraordinary efforts. They were tasked with balancing our budget without using reserves, while at the same time being told not to touch over $777 million of a $1.1 billion budget. It was truly an unfair mandate, but one that they were still able to achieve. Finally, I'd like to thank the strong conservative leadership that has passed through this chamber before us. When you consider the fiscal problems that many states are having and compare them to ours, it once again makes you proud to be a South Dakotan. I believe our task was to continue the strong conservative pattern of governing, and I believe we've acted in a reasonable and responsible manner while doing just that. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let's make history. Please vote yes on Senate Bill 196.
Thank you, Representative. Any further remarks? Representative Noem.
Mr. Speaker, I respectfully call the previous question.
All in favor of calling the question will signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Question for the South Dakota House of Representatives. Final consideration of Senate Bill 196. All in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine. Members shall proceed to vote.
Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
Clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were yeas 44, nays 25.
Senate Bill 196, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Questions on the title? Hearing none. The title is deemed correct. Consideration of committee reports.
Mr. Speaker, your Joint Select Committee appointed to wait upon His Excellency the Governor to inform him of that the legislature has completed its labors and is ready to adjourn sine die, and to ascertain if he has any further communications to make to the legislature, respectfully reports that it has performed the duty assigned to it and has been informed by His Excellency the Governor that he will not appear before the closing of the 85th legislative session. Respectfully submitted, Tim Ray, Bob Fain, and Bernie Hennehoff, House Committee, Dave Knutson, Tom Dempster, and Scott Heideprime, Senate Committee. Representative Fain moves that the report of the Joint Select Committee relative to informing the Governor that the legislature has completed its labors and is ready to ascertain if he has any further communications to make to the legislature be adopted.
All in favor of the Fain motion will signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries.
Mr. Speaker, your Joint Select Committee appointed to consider the matter of adjournment sine die of the 85th legislative session respectfully reports that the Senate and House of Representatives adjourned sine die March 30th, 2010. Respectfully submitted, Tim Ray, Bob Fain, and Bernie Hennehoff, House Committee, Dave Knutson, Thomas Dempster, and Scott Heideprime, Senate Committee. Representative Fain moves that the report of the Joint Select Committee relative to fixing the time to adjourn sine die be adopted.
All in favor of the Fain motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Ladies and gentlemen, if I could have your attention just very briefly. Once again, I would like to thank you for all of your hard work. We've done a great task this year. It's not been easy at times, and I want you to know that I appreciate your time and your attention and your efforts.
We're going to be at ease for a few minutes until we are sine die. We're waiting to deliver the message to the governor. We just need a skeleton few to stay around to help us sine die. If you need to get on the road, I understand it. The hour is late. If you're going home, travel safe. Take care. And again, thank you very much. Being no objection, we'll revert to order of business number 7, messages.
Mr. Speaker, I have the honor to inform your honorable body that the Senate has adopted the report of the Joint Select Committee for the purpose of informing His Excellency the Governor that the legislature has completed its labors, is ready to adjourn sine die, and to ascertain if he has any further communications to make to the legislature. Also, Mr. Speaker, I have the honor to inform your honorable body that the Senate has adopted the report of the Joint Select Committee for the purpose of fixing the time of adjournment sine die for the 85th legislative session. Respectfully, Trudy Evanstead, Secretary.
Speaker is signing. An act to appropriate money for the ordinary expenses of the legislative, judicial, and executive departments of the state, the expenses of state institutions, interest on public debt, and for common schools. Representative Rausch.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Please join me in a closing prayer offered by Pastor John Betty. Almighty God, we pause to give thanks for all you have done in our lives. We thank you for the guidance and wisdom you have provided during this session. We also give thanks for your blessings of safety on our men and women in the military, and would ask that you would continue to provide for their needs, for the needs of their families. We ask also for your guiding hand to be upon all those in authority in each of our cities, counties, state and nation, and that our leaders would make wise decisions for our country. We would ask for traveling mercies as we go our ways. For these things, we will be thankful. This I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
We'll be at ease for just a few more minutes while they deliver the message, and we'll come back in and adjourn sine die. The House, come back to order, please. Representative Diedrich.
Mr. Speaker, I move that we, the South Dakota House of Representatives, serving the great people of the state of South Dakota in this, the 85th session of the South Dakota Legislature, adjourn sine die.
Is there a second? Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carries. 1, 2, 3.